Good morning again. Please turn in the letter from the Holy Spirit written upon the heart of the Apostle Paul, delivered to us in his letter to the Romans, chapter 7. Our passage this morning will be Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, roused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Blessed is the reading of God's holy teaching to us through his Apostle Paul. It is without error. It is true, and it is worthy to be thought about to the glory of his name. Father, so help us think through the words of Holy Scripture in these six verses. And to that end, help me with the gift of teaching. Honor it to the glory of your name and to the sanctification of the souls of your people and the salvation of any who have not yet been saved. To the glory, glory, glory of your name. Amen and amen. Christianity, it is a miracle. It's not a club that someone joins by saying an oath or making just a mere confession with their mouth or repeating a sinner's prayer after somebody. The salvation of a soul is the work of the Holy Spirit, delivering a sinner out of the dominion of what Paul calls the flesh and into immersion of the Holy Spirit of God. Look again at verse 5, Romans 7. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, roused by the law, were at work in our members in order to bear fruit for death. So, as we look at this word from God this morning, how do we apply what we're going to read here? I think it's simple. Ask yourself. And what Paul is talking about here, is he referring to me? In other words, have you experienced what it is to be living in the flesh, meaning that was all you were without the Spirit? You only lived in the flesh, but then at some point it changed. No more. But instead, verse 6. But now, we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way. Literal translation of the next word is grammatos in the Greek. And not in the old way of the letter. That is the main point of this passage. That's what the fruit of justification by faith alone in Christ alone, that's what it looks like. What Paul gives us here is the actual fruit of real Christians. Another way to say it is, and what Paul is doing, is that this is what it is to be in the new covenant and not in the old covenant. So, look down at the text. That paragraph's about that big. It's actually, the structure of it, fairly simple. In verse 1, Paul states the principle. In verses 2 and 3, he illustrates the principle to get to what he's really about. 4 to 6, applying the principle. Verse 1 of chapter 7, he states the principle. Essentially, the law of Moses has authority over a person only as long as that person is alive. Then he illustrates it with a particular law within the law of Moses, the law concerning marriage. When the woman gets married to now her husband, she's not free to go ahead and marry another man until death happens, until her husband dies. When he dies, then she's free from the law of marriage. Okay, let's read the way he says it again. Start with verse 1. Or do you not know, brothers? And yes, the majority of them are Gentiles. They know the law. That's their book now. They have the Old Testament scriptures. Do you not know, brothers, from speaking to those who know the law of Moses, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? There it is. And he illustrates, for a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. Okay, so you draw from that what? She will be called an adulteress, breaking the law if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she's not an adulteress. Okay, here's the thing. All of that is Paul's using as an illustration to get to his main point, verses 4 to 6, where he then applies the principle by saying, because we who are Christians, we have died to the law of Moses. And we're married now in union with another, Christ. Therefore, we are set free from the bondage of the law of Moses. How did that happen? And what does it mean? What does it mean for each Christian's life? In other words, how are we who are Christians to conduct ourselves now? How are we to live our lives until our physical death? Those are the questions. Now, just want to make a statement first. In what we're reading here, now you got to listen. If you observe any religious Orthodox Jew today, or any adherent to any of the false religions of the world, like Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism, okay? In that context, I say this, okay? In that context, observing religiosity, it is not wrong to say Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. Not a religion in the sense of merely exterior rule-keeping, exterior tradition-keeping. So let's look closely at what the Holy Spirit gives to us through the Apostle Paul. Now, what Paul is doing now as we come into chapter 7 of Romans is picking up on what he had already said in chapter 6, verses 14 to 15. And in chapter 7, he's now elaborating on it. Remember what he said there. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you, Christian, are not under law, but you're under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? Answer, absolutely not. And so now in chapter 7, Paul explains why it is that not being under law, but being under grace, does not produce people who sin more, but who sin less. And the reason is because, and I'll get there and show you, is because this is the new covenant. It's the new covenant that God promised during the old covenant period of Israel. And what Paul has been driving at in the book of Romans, in his contention with who he used to be as a Pharisee and still in contention with Jews as he preaches the gospel, is that Jews never found freedom under the law. The promise of salvation that God gave to them was not experienced as a whole by the Jews. By the Jews who? By the Jews who were alive to the law of Moses. Only Jews and Gentiles who have died with Jesus to the law of Moses and thus possess the Holy Spirit, only they have the ability to bear fruit for God. That's what he's saying. The principle is that one's relationship to God's law changes when a death occurs. And so Paul concludes in verse 4 that believers in Jesus have died to the law and remarry. Not the law, but the resurrected living Christ Jesus. Verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, You also have died to the law through the body of Christ. Here's the purpose. So that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. Death to the law means we Christians are no longer prisoners of our old sinful natures that Paul calls the flesh. But instead, we are alive to the Holy Spirit in our marriage, in our union with Christ. And the outcome of that reality is the main point of this passage. And he states it twice at the end of verse 4 and then at the end of verse 6. Verse 4. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another or be married to another, that is to him who has been raised from the dead. Okay, here it comes now. Here's the goal and here's the main point. In order that we may bear fruit for God. Then in verse 6, again. But now we are released from the law. How? By having died to that law which held us captive. Here's the goal. So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the letter. Okay, so let's slow down, get Paul's larger context, okay? Remember the language he's already used in chapter 6. In verse 2, he said about all Christians, we died to sin. And chapter 3 made it clear how. It wasn't our death. It was through someone else's death when he said we were all baptized into Christ's death. That's how we died to sin. And in verses 6 and 7 he says, we are therefore no longer enslaved or to sin. The sin is no longer, oh, it's present. He's there in chapter 7 with it. But sin is no longer our owner, our slave master. Why? Because one who has died has been set free from sin. So, just as believers died to the power of sin, so also they died now, he says, to the power of the law of God, the commandments of God. Do this, do that, don't do that. They died to the power of the law in the way they died to sin. Now, think along with him. So in chapter 6, we're no longer enslaved to sin. In chapter 7, the principle is, if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage, his application. Now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us. So here, Paul is not only saying that we died to the penalty of the law because we all broke it. In other words, he's not only saying we died to the condemnation of the law through the death of Jesus, which he's already said, which is true. But what he's driving at is that we've been set free from the law of Moses, the very moment we died to the slave master, sin. Notice what he says in verse 5. In other words, in verse 5, he's going back to us Christians saying, do you remember your life before you came to Christ? Do you remember before you were born again? Do you remember what your life was like before you died to the law? Verse 5. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions, aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. Remember that? Christian, then what happened? Then we were raised spiritually by the Holy Spirit in order to believe the gospel and be saved, which he describes in verse 6. But now we are released, or literally, we have been released from the law. How? By having died to that which held us captive. What's that for? So that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the letter. What he's saying is, for people who have not come to faith in Jesus, here's Paul's theology on that connected to the law. He says, those who have not been regenerated, have not come to faith in Jesus, that's what God's law does. It only arouses their sin to sin even more. Paul thinks that the law of Moses is a power that enslaves human beings in their sin. And it controls them by bringing out their sinfulness even more so when the law comes to them. The law, he says to us Christians, it used to hold us imprisoned, bound. I'm not going to read it. He's making the same argument in the book of Galatians. It's what the law did. It imprisoned the Jew. Can't save them. The law used to hold us bound. But now, watch it. He says, but now we're released from the law, having died to that which held us bound, captive, imprisoned. Something mystical. Something miraculous has happened to Christians. That's why Christianity isn't just a club and sign a membership thing in a local church. Something mystical has happened in that somehow we died with Jesus on the cross. His death was our death. His cross, his death released us from the slave master of the law. We died to the law through the body of Christ. So get the picture. In our spiritual death that we're all born with before we were born again, we were only living in the flesh And therefore, our sinful passions were aroused by God's commands because we only had God's law written on stone. We only had it in the Bible. This is the state of a lot of kids raised up in local evangelical churches. They're still old covenant people, many of them. They only have His word in His law on paper coming at them from outside of them. But when God, in His mercy, makes us alive together with Christ and seats us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, then we serve and obey. Not from the flesh. Not in the way Paul means, the letter of the law. But we obey in the new way of the Spirit. Why? Because we didn't just die to the letter of the law. We've been joined, married to Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the goal of that marriage, according to Paul, in verse 4, is in order that we would bear fruit for God. Well, how do you bear fruit for God? He tells us in verse 6, we do it in the new way of the Spirit of Christ in us. The Holy Spirit. And not in the old way of the letter. And that's Paul's answer to why Christians don't go on sinning as they did before, but they serve God's will in God's ways. And so now that gets me to that point. All Paul is doing is referring to the new covenant. Every Christian who's a true Christian is in the new covenant with God, by definition. Do you remember at the Last Supper, Jesus said this, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." What new covenant are you referring to, Jesus? It's clear. His Bible. The new covenant that Jesus shed His blood for was the new covenant that was promised during the old covenant period of Israel, particularly through the prophet Jeremiah and Ezekiel. So first, turn to the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 31. About 600 years prior to Jesus' coming. Starting with verse 31. Yahweh, the Lord, God, speaks through Him. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the, by definition, old covenant, Mosaic covenant. Not like the old covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke. Why? Because they did not have the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they were only living in the flesh. That right there is what the old covenant is. That's what Paul means by the letter of the law. Read on. For this is the covenant, the new covenant, that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. Here it is. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. God's will, God's ways, the law, not just written on paper, but written on New Covenant people's hearts by the Holy Spirit, so that now they serve and they obey in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the letter. See? For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer, like the old covenant, shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, come on, know the Lord. Because if someone's in a new covenant, they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is what Paul's talking about. The other place outside of the book of Romans that the Apostle Paul uses, and this becomes very important, he uses this precise language of the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law, is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there for a moment. In verses 5 and 6 of 2 Corinthians 3, Paul writes, our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be servants of, here, and he uses the Jeremiah term, servants of a new covenant. Then what? Meaning, define it, Paul. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That's the new covenant. What is? Not merely having the written law of God as a sinner. That's all I got. It's all Paul had before Damascus Road. That's old covenant. That just killed him. But it is not merely having the law as an unregenerate sinner, but it is having the Holy Spirit with God's law. When an unregenerate person, that is without the Spirit, has the law, it only causes more sin. Romans 7. Or the way he says it here in 2 Corinthians, it only kills. But if a born-again person, who by definition therefore has the Holy Spirit, and which Paul has already made this clear in this flow of Romans, and therefore you already understand that the curse of the law, the condemnation of the law, has already been removed from you by Jesus' substitutionary death. Well, then God's word and commands are obeyed because of new life. The new way of the Spirit. That's Paul. God made us ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And the prophet Ezekiel, he made it crystal clear about the new covenant that it is God, the Holy Spirit, personally, who writes the law upon the hearts of all new covenant people. In chapter 11 of Ezekiel, he says it this way, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone," heart hardness toward God. "I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh, and I'll give them a heart of flesh, soft and pliable, so that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God." And then in Ezekiel 36, he says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." The new covenant is God's law. It's God's gospel. It's God's promises, and it's His commands that you'll find all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is that coming to a sinner with the regenerating and indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, causing us sinners to trust Him and thus have His promises and His commands now becoming our desire from the inside out, not merely from the outside. Do this. I don't want to do that. Well, God said, well, race kids, not merely coming at them, but Romans chapter 7, verse 6, "so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code or letter." Now, I want you to turn to one more. Just flip back a couple pages, because the Apostle Paul, he already, in our journey through Romans, illustrated this back in chapter 2 of Romans. Starting with verse 27, remember, he said, "He who is physically uncircumcised," the Gentile, "but keeps the law, will condemn you who have the letter," grammatos, same term, "who have the letter and you have circumcision, but you break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter." The Holy Spirit is the gift that the new covenant promised. He comes, according to Paul, and he circumcises or cuts open our hearts, and he makes obedience to God, the law, a reality in the way that we as Christians live and walk, and as Paul will show us in the rest of chapter 7, in the way we battle against what's coming against the work of the Spirit in us. It's called our flesh, and we battle it. And he's letting us know in the flow contextually of the book of Romans, all of that is based upon, it's standing upon something that has already taken place once and for all. We have already been justified by Christ through our faith in Christ alone, apart from any of this stuff he's now talking about. That's happened, and there's the fruit. And so all of us who are Christians, we are called to walk not by the letter of the law, but by the Spirit. Just make it clear, because I've been around Christianity for a long time. There's weird, wrong ideas. By that term, letter of the law, Paul in no way is referring to a way of interpreting Scripture. Don't interpret it by the letter, brother, meaning don't take it so literally. Or come on, don't be so anal about every jot or tittle, you know, in the Bible so seriously, but just let the Holy Spirit kind of guide you about what it means. Okay? You don't want to be of the letter of the law. That's not at all what Paul's referring to. To walk by the Spirit and not by the letter of the law refers to a Christian who is already saved, who is already justified by faith, who then walks by the Holy Spirit who indwells them as the Holy Spirit guides us to love the law of God from the inside out. You who are Christians, you have died to the external written code of God's law. You've died to that idea of it just comes only from the outside. But you are in union with the resurrected Lord Jesus. Because if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Him, Paul will go on to say. But you do belong to Him, Christian. He's in you. You're in union with the resurrected Jesus by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in order to bear fruit for God. In other words, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old way of the letter. Fruit. Not sinless fruit. Not flawless fruit. But real fruit. And so back to the question, to beginning. Is that you? Now, I'm an exhorter and an encourager to all Christians. I can say this with great confidence upon the Word of God. If you have died to the law, and you're not under the law, but you're under grace, then it refers to you. For sin will have no dominion over you because you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law, but under grace? God forbid! And the reason that grace and not being under law produces the fruit of obedience to God's command. Essentially, you can sum them up this way: love others. The reason it produces love in the heart and thus obedience to God's commands is that God pours out His Holy Spirit into the hearts of His people. The church, the bride of Christ. You've been joined to another. And the Holy Spirit's ongoing work is a refreshing, refreshing relationship from the inside, working itself out in obedience. And He does this by taking the Scriptures and writing them upon our souls, upon our affections, upon our hearts. And His doing that is what changes our desires. And if that's true, let me just say this. There is nothing more important in your life than to constantly fill your mind with Scripture. It is that Scripture that the Holy Spirit takes and moves it down into your heart. And in that way, we are not tied to a list of rules and commands you pin to the bathroom mirror that come at us just from the outside. Paul says, and he means, because it's true, that idea, we died to that. Instead, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to treasure Christ our Lord and His commands because we love Him. And that's why we're going to close. We're going to sing. Christians, sing. We sing is the ongoing response and the yearning for the influence of the Holy Spirit constantly in our hearts, that we be empowered to overcome the flesh which hates the work of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your glorious Word, for Your ways, for the Bible, for giving the law through Moses, and for giving Your Son, eternal Son, to become one of us and to reveal Your glory in a way that is still hard to grasp that You would do such a thing. Thank You, our resurrected Lord Jesus, for keeping Your promise to send the Spirit. Amen. Let us stand.